in reference to the fantastic and fantabulous holiday of Purim, I would like to dedicate today's lecture, today's shiur, on the magnificence of the day. And this is my approach. I think this is what I've seen through the wisdom of Chazal. In order to really understand the magnificence of the day of Purim, you have to understand that Klal Yisrael was, sad but true, in the pits. And when I mean the pits, I mean with a capital P. The situation couldn't be worse. For 1,000 years after Yetzias Mitzrayim, 480 years until they built the first Beis Hamikdash, 410 years the first Beis Hamikdash was in existence, somewhere at the end of the 70 years of Golus, we're dealing here with well over 900 years, almost 1,000 years of Jewish experience from the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim until the time of the story of Hanukkah. Now, if you would draw a line at the bottom of the page and start adding up whether the Yetzias Mitzrayim Maimon Har Sinai spectacular had a good effect or not, the answer would be zero. It doesn't seem to have any effect whatsoever. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with super mind-boggling magnificence, did the 10 plagues. He showed the entire world, he showed Klal Yisrael that he was supernatural, he could control nature, he caused nature to come into existence. Nature is a tool in his hands. If it's water, it's blood. If it's this can happen and that can happen at the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he used super magnificent input into making a magnificent display that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is HaKol Yochol, and he is everything in the world. The revelation of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, he is the Havaya of all things that are in existence. They are all tools in his hands. There's no opponents to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is everything in this world. He made that abundantly clear in Yetzias Mitzrayim. He took him through the Yam Suf, which was the icing on the cake as far as miracles were concerned. V'Aminu B'Hashem V'Moshe Avdo, as a result of this, they came to a new, higher recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's magnificence as a result of Yetzias Mitzrayim. They were sustained for 40 years in the Midbar with miraculous food. Mon that fell from heaven, Amotzi Lechem Min HaShamayim, every day they had this magnificent gift from God. This magnificent gift from God, together with the miraculous water that came out of a stone. They saw and witnessed the omnipotence and magnificence and spectacular nisim on a day-to-day basis from Yetzias Mitzrayim through the Yam Suf, 40 years in the Midbar. Did it work? Did they solidify their amun and bitachon with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Or did slowly but surely, over the 800 and some odd years that they lived in Eretz Yisrael, they reverted back to Avodah Zorah, Gili Arayah, Shvichas Damim, Sinas Chinam, all these type of things which caused the Churban HaBayis. So it would seem that the spectacular performance which HaKadosh Baruch Hu made on behalf of Klal Yisrael did not have a long-lasting effect. They are now in Golis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them the most magnificent land on planet Earth, an Eretz Zovas Chalav Uvash. And everybody got a highly respectable chelik of Eretz Yisrael. They would be able to appropriately sustain their wife and children with the gift of God of their chelik in Eretz Yisrael. And not only did that chelik in Eretz Yisrael provide for them, but they have to give trumas and maisers, they have to support the Kohanim, they have to support the Shevet Levi, they have to give maiser oni, they have to give maiser sheni. That amounts to about 22% of your income. So 22% of their income, they're now down to 78% of what they produce is for them. Now, you might think that If I only have 78% of my income, I'm going to fall short at the end of the year. I'm going to be 22% behind what I should have made and earned for the well-being of myself, my wife, my children, and my family. Well, that's not the way it works in Eretz Yisrael. The Kuzri tells us that Eretz Yisrael, being the blessed land of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Eni Hashem Elokecha Bo Mireishis Hashana and Achris Hashana, that every farmer, every businessman amply produced 122% of his needs. You're not ending up with 78% of what you need and gave away 22% to the Kohanim and Levim, etc. You earn, you make with the Birkas Hashem, with the blessing of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in your efforts, and you make 122% of your need. So giving away 22% is not. You will not fall short as a result. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's magnificence and abundant bracha will give you 122% of your needs, so that you can be privileged with this capacity to give away 22% to support the Kohanim, the Levim, the Talmidei Chachamim, to help the poor, to sustain the Beis Hamikdash. All of these things are not going to cost you anything, because you were given more than you need in order to be able to support all those things that are worthy of your support. And not only that, you will get a tremendous mitzvah for not being hoarding your money and saying, if I have extra, I'm going to hide it away. If I have extra, I give it away, because it was given to me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the direct purpose of giving it away. So Eretz Yisrael in and of itself is a miraculous little piece of karka. It's a miraculous country. It's a miraculous land that produces well enough for you to live comfortably and do your duties and give away what has to be given away. That's one of the gracious, magnificent presents that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Klal Yisrael. How did they respond to this magnificent present that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Klal Yisrael? Well, they're in Gullus now. They lost it. They didn't appreciate it. They didn't develop and sophisticate the man-God relationship to be permeated with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's magnificence, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kindness, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's grace, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's concern that we should succeed in life, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to make us happy and successful and satisfied. And we bit the hand that feeds us. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu threw us out of Eretz Yisrael. But how could that have happened? HaKadosh Baruch Hu also has this enormously magnificent present called the Beis HaMikdash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows his customers. He understands that people will be lazy, will be lax, could fall short every now and then. But he made a Beis HaMikdash L'chapar Aleinu Al-Kol Avodaseinu. That if you didn't learn your Hilchos Shabbos, or you made some type of a grievous error, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you can bring a korban chatos and get a kapora for your chorus. You bring a korban oshem for whatever that the specific things that's allotted for. You can bring a korban shlomim. You can bring a korban toda. You can bring a korban ola in order to elevate yourself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has already devised a plan that you will not be able to lose Eretz Yisrael, because you will be able to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Beis HaMikdash, in the super magnificent place called the Beis HaMikdash, and recharge your batteries, your spiritual batteries, and put yourself back on an even keel, and you'll live happily ever after. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you magnificent Eretz Yisrael, and he already gave you a pressure valve that if anything goes wrong, you'll be able to reinstate yourself in the eyes of God. You will be able to reinstate yourself in your own eyes. You'll be able to put your act together and pull yourself together and fly straight from here on in. But they lost the Beis HaMikdash also. Where are they now, after 1,000 years of the Jewish experience, after they had Yetzias Mitzrayim with its magnificence, they had the super magnificence of Kriyas Yamsuf, they had the magnificent kindness and glory and grace that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sustained them in a miraculous fashion with manna and water from the rocks. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them a fantastic land that should make them fine, fat, and happy. That they should be full of success and satisfaction. They bit the hand that feeds them. They have the opportunity to restore themselves to their pristine originality, that they should be without chet because the Kodesh Baruch will forgive them and reestablish them and put them back on their feet after they go to the Beis HaMikdash. They out-sinned HaKadosh Baruch Hu's capacity to forgive. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Chorav Machrav the Beis HaMikdash, threw them into Golas. No more Eretz Yisrael, no more Beis HaMikdash, you have lost. Well, that's not really 100% true, as we're going to explain it. Klal Yisrael lost, yes, but even in a greater sense, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you'll pardon the expression, even HaKadosh Baruch Hu lost. There seems to be a tug of war in between God Almighty on one end of the rope and mankind on the other end of the rope, Klal Yisrael at the other end of the rope. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to drag this rope with people tied onto the other end, trying to elevate them and sophisticate them, make them more divine, make them more godly, make them more spiritual, make them more enthusiastic, make them more sincere, make them more idealistic, that they shouldn't fall prey into the Gashmiistical world and the limiting powers of Gashmiist, that shouldn't fall prey to your gaivas and your taivas and your laziness and your preaches and your chutzpah, whatever people suffer from. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to elevate mankind, elevate Klal Yisrael. He's pulling one end of the rope. Sad but true, it would seem that mankind is pulling at the other end of the rope. God says, come higher. Mankind says, we would like to stay low. So it was a result of this tug of war that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw fit to be Machru the Beis HaMikdash and send his Klal Yisrael into Golas. It would seem that in the battle between God trying to make you better and man trying to stay the same, that not only the people lost, but it seems to be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu also lost. This experiment, can you take the jungle out of the boy? You can take the boy out of the jungle. Can you take the jungle out of the boy? Doesn't seem to be that mankind will ever be able to advance and sophisticate itself, elevate itself, become the spiritual being that HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands and commands and wants, gave you the opportunities and the capacities to be that spiritual, divine individual. Mankind says, I refuse. Mankind says, I don't want it. Mankind says, I want to live the Gashmiistic life. Maybe a dabble of religion there also, but as long as it doesn't overcome and override what the man really wants. And the man really wants his gaivas, his taivas, his priests, his chutzpah, whatever the lower earthy side. That's what he really wants. And this God Almighty is trying to superimpose rules and regulations on top of me to tell me that I can't do this and I must do that. It's not me. I'm not the religious type. Not only did Klal Yisrael lose in Golas, it would seem that God Almighty has also lost the battle over the soul of mankind. The body is overpowering the soul, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is losing this tug of war. Not only did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do fabulous miracles for Klal Yisrael, Yetzias Mitzrayim, and Kriyas Yamsuf, and the 40 years of the Midbar, etc., etc., he gave them all these type of goodies, Eretz Yisrael, Beis HaMikdash, but there's something else, which is probably the ultimate magnificent gift which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given Klal Yisrael. They all stood in front of Har Sinai, and all Jews present heard Anochi Hashem Elokecha, me, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mouth. They all were elevated to the level of Moshe Rabbeinu's fantastic status of Navi, that they heard Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Velo Yielecha, those they heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. They were on the same level as Moshe Rabbeinu's devuah for those those moments to hear those words. I am the only one Lord and God, and nothing else in this world exists outside of me. Those two indelible statements, indelible impression on the Jewish mind, the Jewish heart, the Jewish soul, the Jewish neshama, those things they heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was such a staggering moment in their lives that they literally, the Rashi brings down that they were Porcha Nishmasam, that their neshama separated from their goof, and they had to have Tchias HaMeisim. It was supposed to be and had been, and it was intended to be an indelible experience. You'll never forget who God is. You'll never really believe that there's any other forces in this world other than God Almighty. And it would seem that even this magnificence has been lost, because after 850, 900 years in Eretz Yisrael, they had turned to Avodah Zarah, they turned to Gilui Arayos, they turned to Shvichas Damim, that they would plot to murder other people that got into their way. It became like the mafia. If you get in my way, I know how to take care of it. I know how to take care of you. There was Shvichas Damim in those days. There was Sinas Chinam. There was blind hatred and self-seeking to the point that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to destroy it. So what happened to Anochi Hashem Elokecha? God came down b'chvodo v'atzmo in his totality, in his entirety, to make an indelible, eternal impression on the Jewish nation, on each and every individual, on every man and every woman and every child who heard the magnificent statement, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and there's nothing else in this world other than God. It would seem to be sad but true that this experiment has also failed. They lost the magnificence of Eretz Yisrael. They lost the golden opportunity of the Beis HaMikdash. They lost the ultimate glory of God when they turned away from Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and they turned away from Lo Yih Elokei Elohim Achirim Al Panoi. Who am I quoting? I'm quoting Haman. The Gemara says, Einam Yodei Lishna Bisha Kahaman. Nobody knows how to tell Schmutz and Lashon Hara and nasty things about people better than Haman. When Haman came to Ahasuerush and said that we should Lahashmin Lahargitz Kola Yehudim and Arvi Azakin, Bashlola Mavoz, we won't leave any Zecher in this world that there ever was a Jewish nation, men, women, children, and all their possessions will fall in their hands. We will eradicate the name of the Jewish nation off of planet Earth, Rahman al-Islam, but that was Haman's idea, and that's Amalek's capacity. So when he came to Ahasuerus with this idea, Ahasuerus demurred. Ahasuerus was dragging his feet. He says, well, I don't know if it's such a good idea to start up with the Jewish nation. Paro tried it, and he was crushed and pulverized for his trying to prevent Klal Yisrael from leaving Egypt and becoming the chosen nation. Sanherib was destroyed when he tried it. Other enemies arose to destroy the Jewish nation, or to damage the Jewish nation, or contaminate the Jewish nation, and it never works. History has proven God is enormously on the side of the Jewish nation. Whoever starts up with them ends up to be the total loser. You can't beat the Jews, and you can't beat the God of the Jews. So I don't think that Israel says, I don't want to get started. I don't want to start up with the Jews. You're always going to turn into being a loser. Says Haman, nobody knows how to tell Lashon Hara better than Haman. He says, Yeshno Am Echad, to which the Gemara darshans and the Medrash darshans, he is asleep. We have nothing to fear. God has fallen asleep. God no longer has the power to save the Jewish nation. How do you like that for a statement? Because Haman is the man that drew the line after 1,000 years. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did such magnificent things. He's Mitzrayim. Did it last? No. He came down on Har Sinai. He said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. There's nothing more magnificent possible in human experience than hearing the word of God on Har Sinai. Did it last? No. Did he pay off all? Did God Almighty pay off all his debts and give him an Eretz of Askelov and Avash? They gave him 122% of their needs, and everybody will be fine, fat, and happy, and everybody will have happiness, success, and satisfaction. And you will get credit for giving away the extra 22% that you don't need. And you will support your Kohanim and Talmidei Chachamim and Leviim, and you will sustain the Aniyim, and you'll hold the Beis, and they will enhance and glorify the Beis Hamikdash, and they have all the wherewithal all to do it. Did they do it? HaKadosh Baruch Hu put enormous amounts of time and effort into sophisticating and elevating mankind and sophisticating and elevating the Jewish nation, and it would seem that God has failed. God has failed. So it says Haman, look, every mila, every advantage, every gift, every magnificence which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has bestowed on the Jewish nation, they have lost. And I'll go you one better. Ahasuerus made a party, 180 days, a magnificent party. Nobody on planet Earth ever made a party as opulent and as lavish as Ahasuerus had made this 180-day party. I mean, Ones. The wine flowed, the lovely waitresses were more than willing and able to satisfy all of their customers, and Ahasuerus was fabulously wealthy, unbelievably wealthy, and the rule was as follows: in the king's palace, we do not wash our dishes. When you finish drinking your glass of wine from the gold goblet, keep the gold goblet. I'll give you a second gold goblet. We will not wash it out. You take it home as a souvenir, and we'll give you another golden goblet to have another glass of wine. So if you drink 5 glasses of wine, you come home with 5 golden goblets as a souvenir of having been at the party. And if you drink 100 glasses of wine from the gold goblets, you will go home with 100 golden goblets. And if you drink 200 goblets of wine, you will go home with 200 golden goblets. I mean, do you understand the brilliance of the evil mind of Ahasuerus? It certainly encouraged more drinking of wine. They kept on drinking and kept on putting the gold goblets in a sack. At the end of the day, came home with 200 and 300 gold goblets, and they went back the second day and had another 300 glasses of wine and another 300 golden goblets they took home. And this went on for 180 days. This was the purpose, to show that money is meaningless. He owns everything. He has everything, all of the possessions. He will flaunt in order to hurt and humiliate anybody to think that they have any successes or powers in this world. Ahasuerus is so fabulously more successful than they, and more fabulous, more wealthy than they, that he can throw away goblets on anybody and everybody who wants to drink them, take them home in the king's palace. We don't wash them out. We give them away, take a brand new one, and take the second one home. So there was enormous amount of drinking. Everybody over there was pie-eyed drunk. They couldn't even walk a straight line. They couldn't see straight. And all the rest of the goodies of having enormous amount of drunken men with no inhibitions at this party. Okay, fine. Now, what was it that Ahasuerus was celebrating? Ahasuerus, says the Gemara, was celebrating the end of the 70 years of Golus. Yirmiyahu HaNavi said, hold on, you're only going to Golus for 70 years. The 70 years are over. God did not redeem his people. Baal Shetzer made a cheshbon, and others made this cheshbon, and Ahasuerus also made this cheshbon. Where's this mystical end of the 70 years, which Yirmiyahu said is going to be the end of Golus? So the Gemara tells us, this one made a cheshbon, that one made a cheshbon, the other guy made a cheshbon, Ahasuerus also made a cheshbon. 70 years are over. Did God redeem them? No. I guess Haman's right. God threw in the towel. He doesn't want to redeem. Can he? He can. There's no doubt about it. The God Almighty is God Almighty. You know, the God Almighty can do anything he wants. But he did do everything for them with Yetzias Mitzrayim, 40 years in the Midbar, Och Hashem Alekecho, Maimon Har Sinai, a fabulous Eretz Yisrael, Zavaskalov and Uvash, a fantastic base of Mikdash, so you can't go wrong. And they have denied it all. They deny God's existence. They were over to Avodah Zorah. They worship money and power and Kovod and Geld and Kesef and all of these things which lead a man into an earthy type of a lifestyle. They preferred that to the sophistication and the advancement, the elevation, the divine, the spiritual, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is offering to him. Man has won the tug of war, so says Haman. So Ahasuerus tiptoes into the 70-year period, and he says, I guess Haman was right. God has indeed abandoned the Jewish nation, because the Jewish nation has indeed abandoned God. And not only that, I'm going to make a party celebrating the downfall of God Almighty. I am going to make a fabulous party to celebrate the downfall of the Jewish nation. And the Jews are going to come and celebrate. They celebrate the loss of their God. They celebrate the defeat of God. They are celebrating the defeat of the Jewish nation. The 70 years are over. God will not redeem us. We will never be redeemed. We'll never get back on our feet. We're never going to go back to Eretz Israel. We're never going to do tshuva. We're never going to get the Beis HaMikdash back. So let's celebrate it. Man has, you'll pardon the expression, defeated God. God has done everything. Man has remained totally intransigent to the influence, the magnificent influences which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has bestowed upon them for the last 1,000 years. And they celebrate it. They go to Ahasuerus' party and they celebrate that God lost. They celebrate the demise of the Jewish nation. It's bad enough that they can't elevate themselves and get themselves out of the Gullus mentality, the Gullus syndrome, but you go celebrate that the loss of the Jewish nation, the Jews will never be redeemed. And let's drink to that. God Almighty has lost the tug of war with mankind. He will never be able to, he's not going to redeem us, and he will never be able to be redeemed. Let's celebrate God's failure, Klal Yisrael's failure, and let's go and be happy, and let's go and celebrate that wonderful experience. Mordechai, says the Gemara, went up to Shemayim, and he runs into Elio Novi, and he says, "What's Gate Do for? Well, what's, you know, there's the Stam HaMelech in the Megillah is God Almighty. The Stam HaMelech in the Megillah is a Chodesh Baruch Hu. There's a pasuk there. It says, Ima Melech Tov Yikosev La'abdeim." Right? So the simple interpretation is a Melech Tov is Melech Ahasuerus. We know the Melech of the Megillah is God Almighty. So now the pasuk reads, Imal a Melech Tov, if God Almighty sees it fit and sees it to be good, Kosev La'abdeim, he's done it already. Mordechai HaTzadik went and found Elio HaNovi in Shemayim and says, "Was Gate Do for? Is there such a decree from God Almighty to destroy all of the Jews? Kosev Labdeim, complete and total annihilation. Is it true that God Almighty has dictated such a decree?" To which Elio HaNovi says, "Right, correct. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is exhausted. He's exhausted with people's intransigence. He's exhausted with people's earthiness. He's exhausted with people. He also feels he's not winning. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands the situation better than all of us do. He's not winning. He is losing this battle of divine versus earth. The heaven is losing. Earth is winning. Kosev Labdeim, God Almighty has decreed the Jews have to go." Haman understood it. Ahasuerus fell for it. He made the party. They go. They went. There was a decree from God Almighty, Kosev La'abdeim. So Mordechai HaTzadik threw in the one last hook shot. Yeah, is it really true? There's such a gzeira rog and to annihilate all the Jews? There is. So he asked the following question. Is it written in clay or is it written in blood? A gzeira which is written in clay, there is some possibility for a reprieve. If it's written in blood, there is no reprieve. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does indeed make shvuas, and they are called shvuas that are signed in blood. He made a shvua not to let Moshe Rabbeinu go into Eretz Israel, and all of the prayers and all of the logic and all of Moshe Rabbeinu did for God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to make a shvua written in blood that Moshe Rabbeinu would not be able to rescind the gzeira. And in the final analysis, he did not go into Eretz Israel despite all of his Veskanan El Hashem. So he had to make a shvua, he had to make a super Shvua, Kodesh Baruch Hu has to swear not to be moved by Moshe Rabbeinu's betfilas and Moshe Rabbeinu's beseeching and Moshe Rabbeinu's logic. No, I've got a Shvua and I can't break that Shvua. There is such a thing as a Shvua that a Kodesh Baruch Hu can't break. We find it several times. We don't go back to Gan Eden. We're never going to get back Lucas Rishonos. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't go in there. So, all of these things are a level of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's wisdom that can never be changed. So, is this a gzeira that can never be changed? There's a gzeira, guilty, chayav, annihilation, all of you dead this year. Are we going to be able to get out of it? There's a gzeira, can't get out of it. God is paskin. Is it written in clay or is it written in blood? So, Elio Anobi said it's written in clay. Somehow, somewhere, there is a possibility to take the gzeira and be mabatlet. The Mordechai Tzadik, in his infinite power of being the tzadik, says, we'll have to do something about it. It can't be that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is serious. We must get this gzeira become bottle. One of the major things which Haman Harasha, being the master of Baal Lashon Hara, in his conversation with Ahasuerus, Achashverosh knows that there's a God Almighty. Achashverosh saw what happened to Paro. We saw what happened to Sancher. We saw what happened with others. So he said, listen, Achashverosh, who will be able to salvage them? I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know why, but God knows how and where and why, and he will be able to do it. Yeah, so Haman asked, well, how would he be able to do it? If the first, says, series of miracles of Mitzrayim and Maimon Har Sinai and Eretz Israel, based, I think this didn't work. It was only of limited value because they've lost all of it and they don't have any of the benefits of having lived through it. So what could God do now? So Achashverosh says, well, he'll make bigger miracles than the ones that were in Egypt. He can do that too. He'll make greater revelation than he had on Har Sinai. He could do that too. Which Haman tells him, no, it doesn't go that way. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu would make bigger miracles than the one in Egypt, then he, God Almighty, now would be agreeing, I didn't give you everything in Egypt. When he would make more of a revelation than he did on Har Sinai, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu would then be maskim to the idea that he didn't give his whole self to call Yisrael at Maimon Har Sinai. We know that's not true. That means HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is saying that the Yetzias Mitzrayim syndrome has only limited effect. You're going to need something else, even bigger miracles than the ones that happened in Egypt. There's going to be more revelation than there was on Har Sinai. You just emasculated Kol HaTorah Kula. You just said the Torah was insufficient. The revelation of Menachem Yisrael HaKav, there's more God than it was revealed. But he said, but you told me in Maimon Har Sinai, Menachem Yisrael HaKav, that is the totality, the entirety of God's existence in the world. There is no more God to be revealed in this world than was revealed at Har Sinai. So how could he make bigger miracles? And he'd be saying that Menachem Yisrael HaKav, Shere Tzichol Meretz Mitzrayim, that itself was only temporary. The Menachem Yisrael HaKav wasn't everything. Shere Tzichol Meretz Mitzrayim wasn't totally convincing of God's omnipotence and God's almightiness in this world. So it'll come out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu making bigger miracles, making greater revelations, which undoubtedly he could do, that would emasculate Kol HaTorah Kula. Says he gave him everything. He didn't. He does more. That didn't work. So he has to do more. So it comes out that he didn't give him everything. And he sees Mitzrayim and Maimon Har Sinai. That itself would destroy Kol HaTorah Kula. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not and cannot destroy Kol HaTorah Kula. He can't do bigger miracles. Those miracles didn't last very long. Didn't make it eternal. Didn't make them supernatural. then he has no more tricks available in this world. We will be able to conquer the Jews this time. Draw a line at the end of 1,000 years of the man-God relationship. It's Yitzhak Mitzrayim, 40 years in the Midbar, Noche Hashem Elokecho, the magnificence of Eretz Israel, the stupendous matana of the Beis Hamikdash, all has been lost. Nothing can take the jungle out of the boy. They remain earthy, they remain self-seeking, they remain common, they remain like everybody else, maybe a little bit better than everybody else, but Jews are not eternal. They had the opportunity to become eternal, they had the opportunity to become supernatural. God did everything that he could to enter into this world and elevate the Jewish nation. The Jews have won, and Rahman al-Islam, God has lost. Now, the line at the end of 1,000 years of experience, the tug of war is over. Even a Kodesh Boro who has written a Zerah, Kosov Liabdim, he's the Melech behind it all. He's the one that says that the Jews don't deserve. 70 years are over. Tomu Schusovus, the Medrash says there's no more Schusovus. Mordechai went to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov and asked them to pray. The answer was, no, our prayers won't work. Our prayers got them up to this, out of Egypt, to Maim and Har Sinai, into Eretz Israel, and the Beis Hamikdash. After that, Tomu Schusovus, even the efforts of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are not going to be able to change this Gzeira. Kodesh Baruch Hu has made this Gzeira. Man has defeated, so to speak, the power of God. They remained earthy. Kodesh Baruch Hu could not elevate them. That's the end of Haman's dissertation, Haman's ideas. They were magnificent. He was a formidable opponent. And let's get it straight. There is no answer to Haman's Tainas. There are no answers to Haman's Tainas. He's all right. And there's nothing wrong. There's no fallacy in his thinking. Everything he said was sad but true. It was sad and true. Haman did come up with all of the logic, all of the limiting factors that will prevent HaKadosh Baruch Hu from saving him. He was a very, very formidable opponent and a master of being evil and wicked. There's no logic that could refute Haman's Tainas, and especially after the Jews went to Ahasuerus' party to celebrate their own demise and the demise of the ultimate magnificence of God Almighty. But the end of the story is not like that, isn't it? The end of the story is that it became the happiest day of the year, became the most magnificent salvation of the year. How do we understand that it didn't work out according to Haman's calculations? And the terrace is the only way to understand the magnificent love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for the Jewish nation. Beyond all logic is to be lo yada. The mitzvah of the day is not try. Don't try to understand it. You can't. God's passionate love for Klal Yisrael is so enormous, is so blinding, is so beyond human comprehension that every logic that a human mind can fathom says, down with the Jews. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say, the worst day is going to become the most magnificent, happiest day. I won't understand it. I cannot understand it. And the only way I could relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to be lo yada. That beyond human comprehension, Klal Yisrael's love for God Almighty is beyond human comprehension. God Almighty's love for the Jewish nation is beyond human comprehension. And the only way to understand this ultimate glory and this ultimate magnificence and this ultimate mind-boggling relationship between man and God, the only way to, yes, understand it is to be lo yada. It's beyond me. It's beyond human comprehension. God's passion for the Jews has no bounds, defies all logic. And the internal Jew, the eternal Jew, the supernatural Jew, no matter how much you don't see it, how much logic will not find it, also has an enormous, infinite passion to worship and to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'Kaddish Shem Shamayim. God, Torah, Mitzvahs, Chesed, Kod Shemayim, Kiddush Hashem, Kedusha, Tara, Torah, and Emes and Tov are so ingrained in the the Shema of Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can bring it out of them once again without having to go through another Maimon Har Sinai, without having going through another Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's there. Haman's wrong, because Haman is could be the most magical, magnificent, logical mind, but there's no logic to God's love. So be lo yada when you try to understand it. And there's no logic to the Jews' enormous passion for God Almighty, and don't try to understand that either. God will win. God has always won. He entered in this world with his totality, and this is the magnificent day to prove, despite all odds, despite all calculations, despite all human endeavor to limit God, here his love is limitless. Here our love for him is limitless. And the only way to celebrate the day is to be lo yada. You should have a wonderful, beautiful, outstanding, successful Purim, and we should all be zocha to Torah v'simcha v'sasin v'ikar. Amen v'yomein. I punched the button.